Jack had been a soldier, and when he got out of the army, they took his pretty uniform and gave him some civilian clothes, and they took his gun, and they gave him 2 big loaves of bread and sent him on his way. Now, that bread was supposed to feed him until he got a new job. Well, Jack walked and he walked and he walked, and that bread got pretty heavy under his arms, and his armpit sweated, and the bread got kind of salty and soggy there in the middle where the armpit was, and Jack was getting pretty tired of carrying that bread. And he came to a big forest, and he's walking around a big bend in the forest. He found a little old man sitting on a stump. And he said, "Hi there, little old man sitting on a stump. What you doing?" The old man said, "I'm starving, Jack. I haven't eaten in 7 years." "You haven't eaten in 7 years? Well, that's awful, little old man. Here, have a loaf of bread." And a little old man grabbed that loaf of bread and jumped up, clicked his heels together, and ate that bread before he hit the ground. He said, "Well, thank you, Jack. That was right kind of you. I want to give you something in return." And Jack said, "Oh, you don't have to do that." "No, I want to." Jack said, "Is it heavy?" He said, "No, it's not heavy, Jack." And the old man reached in his pocket, and he pulled out a tiny little bottle with a string on it. He said, "Jack, if you look through this bottle, you can see the death angel." And Jack said, "Well, what in the world would I want to do that for?" "Well, I don't know, Jack. It might come in handy." Well, Jack said, "Well, thanks." And he put the little bottle in his pocket, and he wrapped the string around his suspender button so he wouldn't lose it. And he started on his way. And he walked with this, just that one big loaf of bread under his armpit now. And that was getting pretty soggy by now. And finally, coming around another bend in the forest, and he come to another little old man sitting on a stump. And he said, "Well, hi there, little old man sitting on a stump." Little old man said, "Hi, Jack." He said, "Well, how are you doing?" "Terrible, Jack." "Oh, wait a minute, old man. You're not going to tell me you haven't eaten in 7 years, are you?" "Well, no, Jack. I wouldn't tell you a story like that. I haven't eaten in 14 years. "Oh, wow, that's terrible. Here, have half a loaf of bread." And bread broke pretty easy about now. He says, "I'll tell you what, little old man. I gave that other little old man a whole loaf just for starving for 7 years. I might as well give you the whole loaf, too. Here, you take it." And the old man, oh, he jumped up off that stump and clicked his heels together and grabbed that bread and ate it before he hit the ground. He said, "Jack, that's awful nice of you. I want to give you something back." And Jack said, "Oh, that's not necessary." He said, "I want to." Jack said, "Is it heavy?" "No, Jack, it isn't." And out of his pocket, he pulled this big old greasy sack. And Jack said, "Wow, a big old greasy sack. That's really something, old man." The old man said, "Hey, Jack, you just point this sack at something or somebody and say its name and say, whackety whack, get in my sack, and it'll get in the sack and stay there till you let it out." "Wow, that is useful." Jack put that sack in his pocket, and he took the string that held it together, held the lid shut, tied that around his suspender button, and he started walking, and he walked, and he walked, and he walked. And about evening, he come to a town. It was a pretty little town. Jack thought, "Wow, wonder if I could get a job here. I wouldn't mind settling down." So he went to the nearest hotel, and he knocked on the door, and a very nice woman came to that door, a real sweet-faced lady. She came to that door, and she said, "Yes, can I help you?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, I'd like to get put up for the night." And she said, "Well, this is a hotel. Happy to have you." He says, "Just one thing, ma'am. I just got out of the army." She says, "And I bet you don't have any money, do you?" He said, "No, ma'am, I sure don't." She said, "Have a nice evening," and closed the door in Jack's face. Well, Jack was pretty unhappy about that, and he kind of walked out the edge of town there. And when he got out, he saw a fence, and on that fence was 5 wild turkeys. Jack thought, "Boy, I wish I had my gun. I could shoot every one of those turkeys if I lined them up just right." And then he thought of his sack. And he pulled out his sack and untied it off his suspender button. He pointed at those turkeys. He said, 5 wild turkeys, whackety whack, get into my sack." And zip, zip, zippity, zip, they all jumped right in his sack. And he closed it and put it over his shoulder. And he started back to that hotel. And he knocked on the door, and that sweet-faced lady opened up the door. And she said, and she started to close the door. But before she could, Jack stuck his foot in the door. And he said, "Ma'am, do you have any use for 5 wild turkeys? She said, "I sure do." He said, "Well, I got 5. Can we deal?" She said, "You give me them 5 wild turkeys, and I'll give you a place to sleep tonight, a turkey dinner, some turkey sandwiches for breakfast, and I'll give you $2. He said, "Fair enough." And he went in there and helped her pluck the turkeys, and they cooked them, and he had turkey dinner and had a nice bed to sleep in. The next morning, he had some turkey sandwiches, and they're sure good. And she gave him $2 in quarters. Well, he put those $2 in his pocket and jingled them a little bit. He took a sack and put it in that pocket, too. And he left, and he walked around town looking at it. It was real pretty. He come to a hill, and there on the hill was a real pretty house. Boy, it had two stories. He'd never seen a house that big. He wondered how the people got up and down. And he's looking at the house, wondering who lived there. And he said kind of out loud, "I wonder who lives there." Because, you know, the lawn hadn't been mowed or anything. And he just wondered who'd have such a pretty house, not mow the lawn. And a voice said to him, "That belongs to the king, Jack." And he looked around, and here leaning on the fence down a little piece was a man wearing a purple raincoat and a pointy iron hat. He said, "Yep, that belongs to the king, Jack." And Jack said, "Well, I wonder if I could live in it." And the king said, "No, Jack, you couldn't. You couldn't live in it." He said, "Well, why is that? And how do you know anyway?" He says, "'Cause I'm the king, Jack, and I know. I'll tell you why. That house is haunted, and people just can't live there." He says, "Well, what kind of haints are hainting it?" He said, "Well, haints are hainting it, Jack. That's how it's hainted. It's hainted by haints." "Oh, well, what do they do?" He says, "Well, at midnight, whoever's living there, those haints come out and eat them." He said, "Well, I guess I see what you mean. I couldn't live there, but you know what? I'd love to try." The old man said, "Well, Jack, if you could live in that house and get rid of them haints, I'd give you the house and its contents, because it's hurting property values around here." Jack says, "Could I have that in writing?" And the king said, "Well, I guess." He said, "Well, tell you what else I want something to eat, and I want a blanket to wrap up in and a deck of cards to play with till the haints get there." The king said, "Well, that's easy enough to do. But I kind of hate to do this in a way, Jack, because you seem like a nice guy. And, you know, every day somebody sleeps here, the next day we have to go out and pick up his belt buckle and some nails out of his shoes. And that's getting old, Jack, so you be real careful." He said, "Well, thanks for the warning." King said, "Well, I'll send that stuff around." So Jack went in there and he started playing with the Venetian blinds, turning them this way and that, and flushing all the commodes. Turned out the house had a stairway in it, which is a pretty clever way of getting upstairs. Jack had never seen that before. Well, Jack was having a good old time with the Venetian blinds, and he looked out the Venetian blinds, and he saw this pretty girl coming up the street. Oh, she was gorgeous. She had on a purple robe, one of them funny hats, too, and she came up to the door, and she was even prettier up close than she was away a piece. She was so pretty that she knocked the talk right out of Jack. He didn't have a thing to say. She said, "Jack, I'm the king's daughter." He said, "Ugh." She said, "Jack, I brought you this blanket and these cards and this basket of food." And he said, "Ugh." And she said, "Jack, my daddy told me to tell you to get all your eating done by, say, 8 or 9 o'clock, and get all your card playing done by 10 or 11 o'clock, and get all your sleeping done before 12, because that's when haints come out to eat you, okay?" And Jack said, "Ooh, ooh." So the princess, she kind of handed him that stuff and started walking down the street thinking, "Well, he's a nice-looking boy, but don't have much to say. Might make a good husband. Well, she was walking on the road, and Jack, he wrapped himself up in that blanket, and he sat there, still pretty warm, but he wrapped up in that blanket because she had brought it. And he wouldn't eat the food. He just kind of admired it and smelled it because she brought it. And he looked at those cards, but he didn't play with them. He just held them next to his heart because she brought them. And he sat there like a stone for about 3 hours, and all around 10:30, he heard a noise down in the basement. Went a little bit like this. And then he heard a noise out in the attic that went sort of like. And then he heard a noise in the back room that went. Jack thought, "Right, bet anything that's them haints." And sure enough, here come 7 little yellowy brown haints with green blotches and various eyes hanging off of them. Not real pretty. And they come out, and Jack said, "Well, hi there, little haints." And they said, "Hi, Jack." He said, "How are you doing?" They said, "We're starving, Jack." "Oh, that's too bad," Jack said. "Oh, no, Jack, don't feel bad about it. We're going to eat you in a little bit." He said, "Oh, okay." They said, "You sure are friendly, Jack." He said, "Oh, I'm a friendly guy, but I know something. You can't eat me till midnight." "Oh, rats," they said. "You know about that, huh?" He said, "Yeah." "Well, what do you think we ought to do while we're waiting, Jack?" He said, "We could play with cards." And they said, "Well, that sounds like a great idea. What are cards?" And Jack took out the cards and passed them around. And, oh, they love cards. They'd never seen anything like that before. Every one of them was exactly the same. And more than that, when you turned them over, every one of them was different. They had little spots on them and numbers and pictures of people with two heads. They were most marvelous things. And those little guys played with those cards the longest time. They finally said, "Well, Jack, this is a lot of fun. Is there anything else you can do with cards?" He said, "Yeah, we could play a game like poker." And they said, "Well, what's poker?" Well, he showed them. They said, "Wow, this is fun, Jack." He says, "It's more fun if you bet." They said, "All right, what do we bet?" He said, and he took out his quarters. Now there were seven Hanks, so he gave one of them each a quarter, and he had one of himself. And they played and they played, and pretty soon Jack had won all their money, and they said, "Wow, that's a lot of fun, Jack. I'd like to do that again, but we don't have any more money." He said, "Well, what do you have?" And they said, "Well, we have things like that. They're little round flat things, but they're not the right color." He said, "Well, let's see what you got." So they all went downstairs and they all brought back a bag full of gold coins. And they said, "Is this all right?" And Jack said, "Well, I don't see why it wouldn't work. Sure, it's all right. Here, you give me a bag of gold and I'll give each one of you these of a quarter because I don't want to cheat Jenny." And he gave them all a quarter and he took the bag of gold and he played and they played and he'd win a hand and they'd win a hand and he'd win a hand and one of them would win a hand. And pretty soon he had them out all their money. And finally, one of the hands said, "Jack, this is going to have to be the last hand. We're going to have to eat you." He said, "All right." So they played one more hand and Jack cleaned them out. And he said, "Well, I guess we better get on to the eating part of the evening, right?" And they said, "Yeah." He said, "Before I do, I want to show you something." "Okay, what's that?" And he pulled out his long, greasy sack and untied it off his suspender button. And he pointed at him. He says, "Ugly little Hanks, whackety-whack, get in my sack." And whip, whippity, whip, whip, they all jumped right in that sack. And he tied up the sack real tight. And he laid down, put the blanket over him, put his head on that gold, and he went to sleep. And the next morning, the king and his daughter come around to pick up the boot buckles and everything, and there was Jack sleeping. And they said, "Jack, didn't the Hanks show up?" He said, "Yeah, they're in that sack there." The king said, "Well, let me have that sack." Jack said, "Hey, I want that sack back." And the king said, "You got it." And the king took him outside and opened up the sack and exposed him to sunlight. And you know, sunlight just makes Hanks just disappear. They just go poof, an ugly little smell and a bad memory. That's all there is to them. Jack got the sack back, and king said, "Wow, that was pretty good of you, Jack." And Jack says, "Yeah, I'm okay now." And he says, the king looked at all that money. He says, "I can see that, Jack." And the king and his daughter went on home, and Jack got to thinking about how pretty that girl was. Oh, she was so pretty. He finally decided he'd go over to her house after about 2 weeks. And he went over there, and he stood outside in the street. And she sat up on the porch and sipped lemonade and read a magazine. And every once in a while, she'd look over the top of the magazine at Jack. And he just stood there for about 3 hours and finally went home. And 2 weeks later, he come back and he stood there. And finally, the king's daughter, she said, "Jack, would you like some lemonade?" And he said, So she gave him some lemonade. And then he went on home. And 3 weeks later, he got up his nerve again to talk to her dad. And he went over to her house. She wasn't sitting on the porch, but her dad was sitting on the stairs looking pretty low. He said, "Well, hi there, king." And the king said, "Hi, Jack. You're not looking too happy today." "Well, I'm not, Jack." He said, "Well, maybe this will cheer you up. I'd like to marry your daughter." And the king said, "Well, Jack, I'd love you for a son-in-law. You're brave and you're clever and you're lucky and you have all my money that my family been hiding in that house for years. I like that in a son-in-law. I'd like to get it back in the family. But, Jack, you can't marry the princess. She's gone." "She's gone? Where'd she go? I'll go there, too." "You can't, Jack. She's dying. She's almost dead." "Oh, well, why didn't you call a doctor?" He said, "I called a whole mess of doctors. They come, they didn't do anything. I chopped their head off. You see that stump over there with the axe stuck in it? Big old axe." "Oh, yeah. Well, I think that was the right thing to do if they're not going to fix her. Let me try." "Oh, Jack, if you did that and failed, I'd have to cut your head off." "Well, I understand that, King. It's okay." "Well, Jack, you go ahead and try. Then I'll go put a new edge on that axe. It's getting a little dull." So the king picked up the axe and the stone. He going shook, shook, shook on the stone. And Jack went in and looked at the king's daughter. She was laying there. And she was looking bad. She was real pale and was only breathing about once a minute. Jack looked at her and he looked at her and feeling really bad. And then he remembered his little bottle. And he untied the string off his suspender button and pulled the bottle out and looked through it. And there at the head of her bed was the death angel. Well, Jack, real quiet, put that bottle back in his pocket and circled on that string. And then he got his other string and unloosed it and took that greasy old sack out. And he pointed at the death angel. He said, "Death angel, whackety-whack, get into my sack." And the death angel hopped right in that sack and Jack tied it up. And then he went outside and he said, "Hey, King." And the king said, "Hi, Jack, would you put your head over that stump for me for a minute?" And Jack said, "Well, sure, King, but just a minute. Don't you think you ought to check on your daughter?" He said, "Well, I suppose I could do that. Why should I, though?" He said, "Because she's well." "Really?" And the king went in and looked at her, and she was breathing, and her color was coming back just as he watched. And wow, he was so happy. He got some chicken soup, and he started feeding it to her. And when she woke up and was feeling a little bit better, he explained to her how Jack had saved her and how he wanted to marry her and how he had all the family money. And she said, "Well, that's probably a good idea." So she married Jack. And Jack and the king's daughter, they lived together in that town for a long time. They lived there 250 years. They lived there with their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren and their great-great-grandchildren until one day the death angel got out of that bag. But that's another story.